Okay, we're good to go.
Okay.
Okay. Showtime.
Yep.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Okay. So, this year from Masechta Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzway CPA. Shake things up a little bit this tax season. For some people, it's always tax season. I could get into no taxation without representation in the July 4th season. And breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, not tax-free, in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. So just two little disclaimers. The last time I gave this year, it was the day after Pesach, and there were no bagels. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, I want to see what the difference is in terms of, I'm sure we'll add to like a quieter crowd because they'll be busy eating. Second, don't be alarmed if the beginning of this year take a little bit while to get down to the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, because if you take a look at Yud Ches Amud Beis, that's all right. It's a little bit. So, you know, yeah. So you don't. Right, Latosos, which we'll be very happy to say it for a person who's doing next week, and I heard they're expert Tosos people, and that's going to work also. All right. Till now, we've been discussing in the previous Amud. The question is how much pasul schach will disqualify a sukkah. That we know that schach has many requirements. The Gemara brings out a pasuk earlier, psoles goren v'yekev, and we know it has to be talush min hakarka. It's got to be detached from the ground. It can't be makabel tumah, and it has to be gedulei karka. It's got to grow from the ground. The question is, well, we always think about sukkahs in terms of, you know, we buy our mats and we have everything prepared for us and everything is ready made. It doesn't always work that way. And sometimes a person could be a little bit short and they might stick something which is not kosher up there on the top just to fill up space and things like that. So the question is how much schach pasul could disqualify a sukkah. There were two opinions as well as two different versions of the machlokas. The first opinion, which is either Rav in the first lashon or Rav in the second one, says that the amount of schach pasul to disqualify a sukkah is four tefachim. The second opinion, which is either Rav in the first Lashon or Shmuel in the second Lashon, is going to be four Amos. I'm not going to go with the names anymore because this is just going to get a little too confusing. We'll just go either four Tfachim or four Amos, and that's only, of course, in the middle, from the side. Everybody agrees that you have up to four Amos because the halacha of Dofan Akuma. Incidentally, how do we know that the opinion that says four Tfachim is speaking about Tfachim? Meaning when the Gemara talks about it, it says Arba Amos, it just says Arba. So happens to be that the word Tefach in Hebrew is in what we call Lashon Zachar. It's in the masculine form of a verb. It's in the masculine form of a verb. Ama is the feminine form of a verb. The word Arba matches the masculine form. So when you see Arba, you know it's talking about a Tefach and not an Amma. And in fact, if you look in there, it says Arba Amos, and that is the Dictuk commercial for probably this year and probably for the next 3 months also worth this year for Dictuk. Okay. So now, our lengthy discussion continues on the bottom. You've designed a base, three lines from the bottom, and we have a Tashema. And it says, Sechacha bin Nisarim shel Erez. Nice shout out to our captain over here. So if somebody went ahead and went and covered the sukkah, used a beam of cedar wood, sheyeshbo arba, that has actually, it's actually not arba, but it's actually arba'a, the dalet, because we're talking about tfachim. So it says, divrei hakol psul. Everybody's going to agree that this particular board is pasul. And the reason is because what we've been mentioning over the past couple of weeks is something called Gezeras Tikra. Gezeras Tikra is that we're afraid that if you go ahead and sit under this, which is pretty wide, we're talking about like a six. The Tefach is like 4 inches, so we're talking about like a 16-inch piece. So it's a significant amount. You think once you can sit there, you can sit under the roof of your house also. So that's going to be possible. Ein bohem dalid, but if it doesn't have 4 tefachim, so Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Meir says you can't use it, and Rabbi Yehuda says you can use it. Now, why is this? What's this machlokas based about? So the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is going to say something which is for tefachim and greater is possible because that's considered to be a makom chashuv, something significant. Anything less than four tefachim is not going to be considered to be a significant amount of space, so there's no reason to be gozer on something which we don't view in halacha as a significant amount. Rabbi Meir is going to agree in principle and say, yeah, you're right. I also agree that something which is less than dalet tefachim is not considered to be a makom chashuv. However, there is another measurement, or there's another factor working over here, and that's called lavud. Lavud, which we're going to be speaking about a lot today, Bezu Hashem, is of course that in any area which is three tefachim or bigger is considered to be a gap. Anything less than three tefachim is not considered to be a gap. So what Rabbi Meir is going to say is, it's true, it might not be chashuv in the sense that it's bigger than four tefachim, or four tefachim are bigger, but since it's big enough to get out of the Torah of Lavud, so it's chashuv enough that we should include it in the Pasul Schach. So let's go back again and see what we have and see how this plays out. So we have again, going back to three lines from the bottom, it says, Tashema, Schacha ben Isarin shal eres sheish bahen arba. So if somebody used a board of cedar wood that's four tefachim wide or bigger, so that's going to be Pasul. Ein bahem dalet, but if it doesn't have four tefachim, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. So Rabbi Meir says it's no good, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. Umo de Rabbi Meir, however, Rabbi Meir agrees, she'im yesh beineser leneser, kimelo neser. That's a fun thing to go ahead and try to translate, but if you have between each board, a board's width, she'miniach pesal beinehem, that you put kosher schach. I know this is also a little bit confusing because the Gemara is using the word pesel or psal for describing kosher schach, even though we normally usually assume the word for psal as pasul. When it comes to schach, it's considered to be kosher because it comes from the words psalis goren v'yekev. So if you fill up an equal sized gap between the beams with kosher schach, that's going to be kosher. And I sent a little WhatsApp a little earlier with a number of pictures that you do have over here. This would be, I think, it might actually be the third one that I sent. Let me just double check. Yeah, it's actually the second set of pictures because it didn't email exactly the way I wanted it to. But here you have... My thing's jumping around a little bit, but here you have four tefachim of a board, four tefachim of schach, four tefachim of a board, four tefachim of a schach, and that's kind of how you set it up. So you have four, 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 and so on. So the Gemara says, Bishlama lamanda amr bein be'emsa bein mitzah bidalet amos. If you're going to say that what's going to disqualify pasul schach, if you're going to say schach that's pasul is going to be disqualified by a four amma area, so then I can understand... Mishum hachi kasher. I can understand why it's kosher, because the offending area of schach is only four tefachim wide. El aman di amar bi emsa bi arba. But if you're going to be saying that, you know, that even in the middle, four tefachim is enough to go ahead and pasul a sukkah, so then am I kasher? Why should this be kosher? You still have areas of four tefachim or bigger of, or you have areas of four tefachim of pasul schach. So this seems to be a question on the four tefachim cap. Again, what do we have? We have a situation where you have beams that are four tefachim wide, and which we know is pasul, and what you're doing is we're saying that you can still sit in that sukkah if you go ahead and place a corresponding amount of kosher schach next to each of those beams. So you have schach pasul, schach kosher, schach pasul, schach kosher. The problem is the amount of schach pasul over there is four tefachim, which, according to the Man D'Yamar that says four tefachim of schach pasul is going to knock everything out, how does this go ahead and work as a solution? So Amar Rav Yehuda bereid Rav Yeshua. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, comes up with a solution and explains, Hacha besukah de lohavia ella shmona amos. I believe the bachet's in there. Shmona amos, yeah. Mitzum tzamos askinan. We're dealing with a case where you only have eight amos. Now, before we go ahead and go a little further, let's just do a little math to keep things in our head. So an amma is six tefachim. Okay, so when it's going to be saying eight amos, let's change it from eight amos to 48 tefachim. Okay, so let's keep over there. And then what are you doing? So let's see. It says, V'yahiv neseru psal, v'neseru psal, v'neseru psal mihai gisa. And then what do? On one side, you put the beam, and then you put tzchach, and then the beam, and then you put tzchach. If you look in the picture, you have beam, tzchach, and then a beam. And then you go on the other end, and you also go beam, tzchach, and a beam. So you have 20 tefachim on each side. And what do you have in the middle? In the middle,
you have eight.
You have eight. And eight tefachim of kosher tzchach, of course we know, makes a kosher sukkah. So let's see this again. It says, let's read it again one more time. You have Neseru Psal, V'Neseru Psal, V'Neseru Psal Mehal Gisa, V'Neseru Psal, V'Neseru Psal, V'Neseru Psal Mehal Gisa, Dehavi Lahu Shnei Paslin B'Emtza. So you end up with two sets of four tefachim of kosher tzchach, or eight tefachim in the middle, and V'Ika Hechsher Sukkah B'Emtza. So you have a good amount in the middle. So now, if we think about it for a second, what do you have? You have 20 on each side, which is pasul kosher, 20 on the other side, which is pasul kosher. If you look at the picture is going to tell you that you have more pasul than kosher, which is going to treat that whole 20 areas as pasul schach. So even though there are kosher sections within that 20 tefach area, we're still going to view that entire thing as pasul schach, because you have the majority is pasul. So there we're going to be applying a dofen akuma on one side. And we're going to look on the other side and we're going to see the exact same thing. Four tefachim of pasul, four tefachim of kosher, four tefachim of pasul, till we get to the 20 as well. So you have a dofen akuma on the other side. And then in the middle you have eight tefachim of kosher schach. That is your schach, and that is your good sukkah. And that's how we couldn't go ahead and rectify things to make this brisa fit into both opinions. Now, that's how we do it over here. I know how I would explain it without the pictures, that would be very difficult. But, and I'm sure we're more so interested in continuing on this whole topic of four tefachim versus four amos. The answer is the halacha is we end up posketing that we say that we really should be going after the four tefachim as the area, not the four amos in the middle. But here, this question is now finished, and now we move on to the next topic. And the next topic we're going to be discussing is love it.
Can't you sit underneath the
Dofen Akuma side? No, we can't sit there. Right. Because again, that also depends on how we view Dofen Akuma. And I think the more commonly accepted opinion is we view the Dofen Akuma as just really just being literally a wall. Right. It's a wall that's just bent over on the top. That's how the halacha works. So yeah. So you can't sit under the wall. So that's how it works. If you're going to say that it's like, it's kind of like we view it as like, it's kind of like a shift and it bends sideways, it's like kind of we draw an imaginary line that you would be sitting under. That would work. But the halach, I believe we follow that we don't sit under the Dofen Akuma. And we just view it really as just one long wall that continues to extend over the top of your roof.
You have more area on the floor that's possible.
Yes, you have more area on the floor, yeah.
Then,
exactly, yeah. It's one of those weird, strange sukkah cases that comes up. But listen, you never know where you can find yourself on sukkahs or one of these, you're off somewhere, you go somewhere Chol Hamoed night and you find a couple little things there and you put a little throw-together sukkah. Keeping these things in mind, could definitely help you out if you're in such a situation.
You could subdivide, like, the schach in any ways you want, meaning here we're subdividing the two sides to be, and then the middle we're taking as its own section.
That's the way to work it out. Meaning, because what you're doing is you're making it. You're using Dofen Akuma for your favor, for your advantage.
Right.
Because by doing it in this way, right? By doing this on your, by doing it this way, what you're really doing is you're maximizing your puzzle schach in a way that it can help you.
Right.
If you would go all the way across kosher puzzle, then You're gonna be end up hurting yourself according to the mandi armor that says four tefachim. So yeah, you're allowed to manipulate things, right?
You don't need a hacker, it's just like
no, right. One of the things that some of the posts can do talk about is putting two things together. Like, you know, you go ahead and then you take a dolphin akuma, and then you go ahead and balance it with a little bit of love on here. They're not always as crazy about mixing two different halacha moshim yisinais together to try to work these. The Zilberstein says there's certain cases where you can do it. But in general, what we're doing over here is we're kind of using it to our advantage to go ahead and help it out. But yeah, with sukkah, definitely a little knowledge does go a long way. All right. Oh, that's I was going to say, don't quote me on it, but it's recorded. I guess we're... so, hope not too many people listen to it. All right. Anyways, let's move on to the next case. And this is going to be based on, if we go back to just the beginning of the last Mishnah. So the first line of the Mishnah says, Hirchik is a sikuch min abdefanos shloshet fachim pesula. So that's the formal mention of lavud, where we go ahead and mention that, again, any gap that is three tefachim or bigger, any gap of space that's three tefachim or bigger, that, of course, is going to be puzzle. So what do you do if you have a gap that's three tefachim or more? What's the simple solution?
Make it small.
Make it smaller. What do you make it small with? Kashrus Chach, right, that's a simple thing, right. So Abaye is not going to be talking about how to fix it with Kashrus Chach, because I don't think we need Abaye to go ahead and figure this out, right? That's a Pasha thing. What Abaye is going to do right now is Abaye is going to try to tell us, find a way to kasher this sukkah, kasher this hole, even if you have Pasul Schach, okay? So he's going to be using a mechanism which we learned on the previous Amud to go ahead and make things work over here. So Amar Abaye says, of your shlosha, if you have a gap of three tefachim, which of course is already puzzle, you're out of the category of lavud. So Abaye says, the sukkah gedola, if you have a big sukkah, when we talk about a big sukkah, that's anything that's beyond seven tefachim by seven tefachim, umiyato, and you minimize the gap, bein bekanim, with either you used kashrus chach, which of course is going to work, or bein beshfudim, whether you used metal rods, which of course is pasos chach, Avi miut. That is considered to be a miut, and that you're able to go ahead and use that kosher sukkah. Use that sukkah. That sukkah is now kosher. So you can have, in theory, 2.5 tefachim of air, half a tefach of metal poles, and still your sukkah is going to be kosher. And of course, the question is, how does that work? You still have a 3 tefach gap of an area that's not covered with kosher schach. And the answer is based on what we learned in the previous Amud. And there's a Gemara which is kind of towards the top, and it just says, Mishum, it says that, what's it called, that not all the Shiurim equal itself, right? That when you have Shiurim that are a little bit different, we don't combine the two of them together. And let's think for a second. Air, passes with 3 tefachim. Pasul schach, pasuls with 4 tefachim. We don't view them as like saying, oh, we got no good plus no good equals no good. No. There's air, which is its own set, and there is pasul schach. So what are we doing over here? We're going to be saying, it's kind of like, oh, wow, we're going to look at each thing separately. We're going to say in this situation you have half a tefach of pasul schach, which is not going to disqualify a sukkah. You have 2.5 tefachim of air, which is also not going to disqualify a sukkah. So, keeping that in mind, Abaye comes up with a pretty big kula that you could stick a couple of metal rods in there, as long as you don't go beyond the 4 tefach threshold, which of course you're not going to, because the gap itself is only 3 tefachim, then you can go ahead and be makshir the sukkah. But the Abaye continues, and he's going to...
Could you theoretically, with that logic, that we're not, with two different puzzle objects, each have their own identity, they're treated separately, even if they're adjacent.
So, like, let's say metal and like.
Let's take metal and plastic. With the metal, take the metal and the halal in the open space. So, the open space, that we the rule is up to 3 tefachim.
Correct.
With metal or a non cut.
Right, that's 4 tefachim.
So, that means, could you theoretically have all the way up to 7 if you had 2 and. Whatever, 11/12 whatever, of halal, and then 3 and 11/12 of...
So we're gonna talk right now about the 7 is right now is going to come up right now. Oh, the next thing, yeah. So actually, it's going to sound something a little contradictory.
Okay.
Because, yeah, so it's going to be right now, if you continue on.
Got it.
Right.
I was leading you.
That's right. You lead me right into the next Gemara. Thank you, Mitch. So we got right over here. But look what it says. It says, Besuka Kitana, if you have a sukkah katana, which is seven tefachim by itself, bikanim have a miut. If you're going to use kosher schach, it's going to be a miut. It's going to work. You can lower the gap. Bishfudin lo have a miut. But if you put in posel schach, it's not going to work. And now we just seem to have like a contradiction over here almost. Right? Because we just said before it works, and now we're saying it not work. So the truth is, Rashi already picks this up. And Rashi says, no, you got to realize that we're dealing with two separate things over here. Anything that's under seven tefachim is not a sukkah. A sukkah to be considered to be a sukkah, or this space or cover of schach to be considered a sukkah, it has to have seven tefachim by seven tefachim. You don't necessarily need seven tefachim of schach. Early in the first parak, it mentions if you have four tefachim or four plus tefachim of kosher schach and a little bit of space, you can go ahead and count that. But what you have over here is you don't have four plus tefachim of kosher schach. So because you don't have four plus tefachim of kosher schach, you don't have a sukkah. So Abaye's heter of sticking in pasul schach to help fill in a gap, that's predicated on the fact that you have a kosher sukkah without it. But if you're not going to have a kosher sukkah without it, you still need to have, in order to have a kosher sukkah, you have to have a space that's 7 by 7. And using lovewood, it really comes up to be a little bit more than 4. So as long as you have 4 plus tefachim of kosher schach, and you have less of those gaps, that's going to be okay. But if you have less than that, in the case that we're talking about over here, because your airspace is 3 tefachim, so then it's not going to work. So that's why Abaye would say that if it's a sukkah katana, you're not going to be able to save it with pasul schach. But if it's sukkah gedola, then you could. Okay, so that's what we have over here. Now here's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Because I know we love going from complicated to more complicated. Oh, for sure. So here's what we have over here. It says, v'hani mili min atzad. When do we allow lovud? And when do we allow filling in the gaps and stuff like that? When do we allow all this? That is when we're dealing with the side. What do I mean by the side? That means you have the wall of the sukkah. There's an empty space, and then you start your schach. However, aval be'emtza pligi ba rav acha v'ravina. But if the gap is in the middle, so then you have a problem, or you have a machlokas between rav acha and ravina. Chad amar yesh lovud be'emtza, v'chad amar ein lovud be'emtza. One is going to say that we could apply lovud in the middle to close a gap in the middle, and the other man d'amar is going to say we can't apply lovehood in the middle. Now the question is, one of these opinions makes a lot of sense logically. The other opinion doesn't seem to make sense logically, because if you're going to allow for lovehood, right, you're going to allow for lovehood as a mechanism to go ahead and allow a hole to be considered to be kosher, so then if it's going to work, right, it should work all the way. Meaning, so if you're going to say it works, so then it works. What's this whole idea of making this split that's saying it works in the it works on the sides but doesn't work in the middle? So the Aruch HaNer explains that you really have to understand how lovud works. And he brings down a chakira as to what mechanism, or by what mechanism does lovud allow us to go ahead and use a sukkah that has an area with a gap that's 3 tefachim or less. On one hand, you can say, what lovud does is lovud views the area as if it's completely sealed up, right? That any space that's less than 3 tefachim is considered to be sealed. We don't work this way with roofs and houses and stuff like that. That's not going to work. But, okay. I mean, you can always tell them lovud if it's going to work.
You can try.
You can try, right? Not necessarily going to work, but all right, maybe they will. They'll believe. Yeah. As long as it doesn't rain, right? Doesn't rain, you're okay. Yeah. Nah, it's skylight, but the truth is, right? That's when we look at it. Every area is considered to be filled up. The other way is that you view it as everything is kind of pushed together, kind of like an abacus. So, you know, when you have the area, right? So if you're near the wall, you kind of push it together near the wall and everything's going to work out. According to the man d'amar that says you can't have it in the middle, he's going to say that, okay, it's kind of works like the abacus. You're pushing the space. So what happens? You push the space towards the middle, and then what happens? You have a hole at the end. So it's like, so you push at the end, you're going to have the hole over there. So it's not going to work because you're not filling up the space. You're kind of like just kind of like using it as a little bit of a squeeze. But if you're going to say that lovud works as a sealant, so then it doesn't make a difference really where the seal takes place. Meaning if it's going to seal it, it's going to seal it everywhere. If it's going to be something that kind of pushes things together, it can work when you go into the wall, because you can push it towards the wall. But if you're going to be pushing stuff towards the middle, then you're going to be pushing it away from the wall, and you don't have it over there. So that's where this concept kind of works in terms of, that's one way to look at it as a whole question. There's another way to look at it in saying that Lovud is based on, does Lovud based on the halacha of Mechitzos or not? Because earlier in the Gemara, it mentions that you have Dofan Akuma and Lovud are all examples of halacha Moshe Misinai, and because they paired the two together, so the Ran says that is what, that is one of the reasons why. Just give you a quote over here in the Gemara. It says, like, Gur Achis, Lovod and Dofan Akuma are all examples of halacha Moshe Misinai, since they all have to do with mechitzos. So then you're going to need, it's only going to be a halacha that's connected to the mechitzos. If you're going to say that, no, when it's mentioned those three together, it's not mentioned together because they all have a certain connection to mechitzos. It just happens to be that these are three halachos in terms of koshering the foundation of a sukkah. So in that case, then you could put in the middle. So there are two different ways to go ahead and look at this gap. What we're going to do right now is we're just going to go ahead and bring sources for the gap, you know, these type of things there, the gap rule that we have over here. And when it says my taima doesn't necessarily over here mean what's the reason, because you're going to read this and you're going to see that doesn't give us any reason. It just gives us examples, but it's going to be from where do we know this from. So the Gemara says, going back inside, again, we have a machlokas. I'll just go back up three lines. Of be'emtsa pligiba rav achav ravina charamar yesh lovud be'emtsa v'charamar in lovud be'emtsa. One's going to say that you can say lovud in the middle, and one's going to say you can't say lovud in the middle. My time of the man diomar yesh lovud be'emtsa. What's the source of the Tana who said, or the Amora who says you can't say lovud in the middle? Disanya kora hayotzi mikosel zeh ve'ena noga'as bekosel acher. So there is a picture of it. I think it is the pictures that we have over here. This is the second one over there. So you have a kosel going, it's the one on the bottom. Kosel yotzimi. I'm sorry, kor yotzimi kosel zev, eino go no gas, but kosel acher. That will be the first one on top, the one all the way to the left. So you see over there that there's a gap in that case over there. It says v'chein shtei koros. Achas yotze mikosel zev, achas yotze mikosel acher, ve'ena nogas zobizo, that would be the bottom picture, where you have the beams coming out from each side, and then there's a little bit of a hole in the middle. So in those two cases, pachos mishlosha, if it's less than three tefachim, eno tzarech lahavi kora acheris, you don't have to fill in with another beam. Shlosha tzarech lahavi kora acheris. But if it's more than three tefachim, you have to put another beam. What's this talking about? So this is a case where you have a mavui. A mavui is an area which is kind of like an alley. It's surrounded by three walls. And min haTorah, that's already you're allowed to carry in there. That's not a problem. Except the chachamim asked it and insisted that you put a kora, or you put a beam going across the front as a recognition that you're not allowed to pass by this particular area. I know there's somebody near my house that actually put up an Eruv by their property. I guess they don't use the Eruv, but they put up an Eruv by their property. And what they did was by the area where you walk out of their property, you don't have to do this either. I don't know if you have to do this. Could be a chumrah they put it on there. But they actually tied like a little piece of ribbon or a little piece of cloth on it so you can actually see where the Eruv is. Because otherwise, you know, the little string, you're not going to see. Mm-hmm. So it's the same type of a concept that you have over here. Three mechitzos is enough. Mid the Rabbanan. The Chacham is that you put an extra Korah, and that's what it discusses at the way beginning of Erevin. I believe in the first missionary of Erevin, it talks about that. So according to the Mandi Amar that says, you have Lovud in the middle, here's our source. You have the case where beam comes out on the right, beam comes out on the left, they don't touch. The Brisa says, as long as there's less than three Tfachim between the two, you don't have to go ahead and add anything in there. What's the other Mandi Amar who says there's no Lovud in the middle? How is he going to understand this? So his answer is very simple. It says, V'idach shiny koros derabanan. The whole halacha of a korah, of this beam, or this requirement of a beam, that's a din derabanan. From the Torah, you don't need this particular beam. It's just an addition that the Chachamim put in to ensure that we don't carry out of that certain area. It's a safeguard. So therefore, make we be makel. But as far as sukkah is concerned, sukkah is a mitzvah min haTorah. The requirement of having tzchach covering your roof, that's a din min haTorah, right? As it says, what Rashi say in the beginning of the Masechta? Al Shema Sach, Schach, Kari Sukkah, right? Sukkah is called Sukkah because of the Sach. That is the essence of what we have. So therefore, the Man D'Yomer that says you can't have Lavud in the middle, he says, you can't learn it out from a Korah. Korah is a Din D'Rabbanan. I can't take a Kula that I say by a Din D'Rabbanan and apply it to a case where we have a mitzvah in a Torah. So that's the first way. So that's how the one who says you're allowed to do it, he learns it out from Erevin. My time of Man D'Yomer ain't Lavud B'Emtza. What is the person who says, you don't say Lavud in the middle, where is he going to learn it from? So Disnan, so we have a Mishnah, and I believe we have another set of pictures over here. Mm-hmm. Or did I, yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's the bottom one. Yeah, and I hope next time I have picture taken will be better, unless maybe I don't even have to do it with pictures next time. But here is the situation. You have that thing with the two rooms over there. Okay? So we're going to be dealing with something called Tumas Ohel. It's actually this week's parasha, Parshas Chukas, that if you happen to have, if a person is, unfortunately, is a dead body in a room, and the room is completely sealed, so there's something called Tumas Ohel, that everything inside of the room becomes Tameh, whether you actually touch or whether you don't touch it. That's the idea of Tumas Ohel. And I believe it has to be a Kezias Menameis, or if it's not a Kezias, it could be certain limbs and certain percentage of limbs. These are all halachos that are discussed in Meseches Olos that you have. So the Mishnah tells us the following. Aruba Shebebayis, you have a skylight. And this one, David, was put in on purpose. This is not a lava gap. This is like the architect says to put it in there. So you have a skylight. Uba Poseach Tefach. And this skylight has a tefach worth of space. So we say Tumah Bebayis. If there is, unfortunately, a dead body in the house, kulo tamei, the entire, everything inside the house is considered to be tamei, with the exception of the following, masha kineged aruba tahar, what is opposite the aruba, what corresponds to the window, that itself is going to be tahar, because if you see in the picture, that kind of like looks, and that kind of makes it like a little bit of like, sort of like a protection, it's like under the skylight, and so that's viewed as a kind of being outside the area. So anything which is in the room, not under the skylight, that's going to be tamei. Anything which is under the skylight, that's going to remain tahar. That's going to be saved from tumah. Ein ba aruba poseach tefach. If by the window there isn't a tefach gap, same thing almost. Tumah babayis kineged aruba tahar. Anything which corresponds, or anything which is lying under the aruba, that's going to be tahar, under the window. Tuma kineged aruba, if it's under the skylight, the tuma is under the skylight, kol habayis kulo tahar, everything else is going to be tahar. Now, we're not going to get into the whole set of details about what's the difference between one tefach, less than a tefach. In fact, actually, both Rashi and Tosfos say that we're not going to really get into it so much because when it comes to taharos, very often the Mishnayos are very vague, or the Gemara is very vague when it brings down certain concepts in taharos and stuff like that. So it's not just like our lack of familiarity with taharos when we come to one in the Gemara. Sometimes it's also just very vague in principle. But what do you have over here? Here's the basic idea that Rashi says we're going on over here. We said that there's a gap. And the gap, which is a tefach, actually works to save or to protect in something which is tahar underneath it. What's the problem? Problem is the gap is less than three tefachim. If we're going to be saying, presumably, if you look in the, as you saw in the picture, the gap is somewhere in the middle. So what are we doing? We're not saying that we view the middle area or the area under the aruba, the skylight, is sealed. Rather, we say the skylight is open. So what do you see? You see an area that's less than three tefachim in the middle of a roof, and we're viewing it not as something which has been sealed up, but instead we're viewing it as something which is open. And the big nafkamina is because for all Kohanim over here, Kohanim can go ahead and take over here, but say there's this thing of truma sitting in there, they can go ahead and eat that truma, and there's absolutely no problem with eating that truma. That totally saves it. So you see from over here that here is a concept where you don't see Lavud in the middle. It's a very good raya. What is the other opinion going to say? So the other opinion is going to say, if we go back into the Gemara, v'iduch, shiny hilchos tumah, the hachi gemira lehu. No, you can't go ahead and learn it from Hilchos Tumah because Hilchos Tumah is its own particular subject, and Tumah cannot be used to learn out from other areas. So Tumah is Tumah, when we were dealing with mechitzos, it is mechitzos. Earlier on, we brought down a comparison between mechitzos of Shabbos to mechitzos of Sukkah, and that's okay, because over here we're dealing with lavud and we're dealing with mechitzos. Those are areas that are kind of like. But Tumah has got its own separate set of rules, and because Tumah has got its own separate set of rules, we therefore don't get involved in learning from Tumah to other areas. That's what the Man Yomar is going to say. There is love in the middle. That's how he's going to address this. Okay, we now finish this sugi over here, and now we move on to the next topic, which are two halachos that were said by Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, which were explained, one having to do with sukkah, the other having to do with fish. So Darvish Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Bayesh shenivchas v'sikei chalgabav, if you have a house that collapsed in the middle and he puts chach on top of it, kisheira, it's kosher. So Amru lefan of Rabbi Yishmael but Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Perish, could you please explain to me, when does this apply, when is this allowed, when is this not allowed? So he says, kach Perish Abba, arba amos psula, pachos mi arba amos kshera, if the area from the house that remains from the roof is 4 amos or less, then it's going to be kosher, because that's the halach of Dofen Akuma. If it's greater, then it's going to be pasul, because we wouldn't be saying Dofen Akuma in that spot. Okay, so that's what we've been saying all along. And now Kedarko, the Gemara, now brings down something on a small little tangent. Once we're quoting one thing for Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to quote something else as well. So Darish Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Avroma Sharia. This particular fish called an Avroma, that's a kosher fish, and you're allowed to go ahead and eat it. So, Amar Lefan of Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish, could you explain to us when this applies? So he says, Kach Amar Abba, Shel Makom Ploni Asura, if Avroma from this particular river, that's going to be not kosher. Shel Makom Ploni Muteres, from a different area, it is going to be kosher. So that's kind of what we have over here. What exactly does this mean? So the Gemara continues on to say, Ki Hada Amar Abaye, as Abaye says the following, similar type of case, Haitan Tachnasa Dibav Nahara Sharia. This particular Tachanta fish from the Bab River, that's going to be mutter. So the Gemara wants to know, my timer, what's the reason? Ilema Mishum Diradifa Maya. If you want to say, because we're going to show that for sure it's a kosher fish. How do we know? Because you say, because the waters are very strong and there are a lot of rapids. And what happens is because the water flows very, very quickly, if it was going to be a kosher fish, right? Kosher fish we know has bones. We don't have shellfish, right? Kosher fish has bones, has a skeleton. And we're going to say, the high dog tame, came under lesle chut hashedra, lo matzi kayim. We're going to say that this particular fish, if it doesn't have a skeleton, it's not going to be able to withstand the water. The water is going to harm the body of the fish. It's going to be too hard, and the fish is going to be crushed by the rushing water. No, we've seen that there are non-kosher fish that don't have a skeleton, and they can still survive in rushing water. So elamishum de melichimaya. We're going to say because the water of this river is very salty. The high dactame came into Lace Lake Cleafy. Because it doesn't have scales, lo matzi kai, because what the scales do, they kind of like filter out, or kind of protect, actually not filter out, they kind of block the salt water from perturbing the fish. So we're going to say, no, vaka chazina dekai. We see that, no, it does work, and they do survive. Ela mishum de lo mar betinayu. It's rather because there's not a lot of mud on the bottom. So dog tummy. So de lo mar betinayu, dog tummy, there are not a lot of non-kosher fish in the mud over there. And Amar Ravina, the Ha'idna, the Shafrichi Nar Esan, and now the Nar Esan happens to flow into the Bab River. Unahar Gamda, and the Gamda River also flows, Lahasim, into that case. We're going to say, Asira, we're going to say, it's not kosher, and therefore, that's what the Psak that end up with that fish over here. But we were talking about, and the idea that they were mentioning over here, as far as the fish is, because again, we want to know, are there really non-kosher fish that live in the area on the bottom over there? So originally Abai wanted to say that there aren't, but now they come and say that because things have changed a little bit geographically and they have other rivers flowing in there, so you're going to have non-kosher fish in there also, so you wouldn't be able to eat it. Finally, we get to the last part, which is just going to be a start when we turn over the daf, because we're going to leave us in the middle. But this is going to be starting a brand new topic, and this is the topic of Achsadra. If you remember last...
What?
Achsadra. It's like the portico, have the... There are the pictures over here. This will be the last set of pictures that we have.
This is the whole issue in Menachot.
Yeah, that's right. Same type of thing. if you look over on the first, it ended up being the first ones that came out, that's where you kind of have like this alleyway where like you have this like overhang, you have walls and you have a little bit of an overhang, and then you want to put tzchach on the overhang. Do we apply dofan akum in that case also? The Mishnah says yes. But we're going to be talking about, we're going to be qualifying it. And that's what we have over here. It says, Ismar, Sike Chagabi Achsadra Shiesh La Petzimen. So if the Achsadra, if the overhang has poles that come down, so basically you have a wall, you have an overhang, and there are metal poles that run down from the overhang, and each of these metal poles is within 3 tefachim of each other. So everybody's going to say that's going to be kosher, because that's not even applying Dofan Akuma. Because those walls with the less than 3 tefachim gap in there, that's going to be lavud, and that we're going to say is always going to be okay. She'ein la pitzimim, what happens if there are no, that's what happens if there are no beams coming down, and you just have wall, overhang, and tzchach. Is that going to be okay or not? So Abaye amar k'shera, and Rav amar psula. Abaye says it's going to be kosher, Rav says it's going to be pasul. Why does Abaye say it's kosher? So Abaye amar k'shera, we turn over, it says, Amrinan p'tikra yore v'sosim. The ceiling can go down and seal it. Rashi adds in mikolzad, from every side. So what do? Is we view like that little overhang as if it completely comes down. We view that as a wall. There's actually two ways to understand that. Rashi tells us that it means it's kind of the concept of good achis. We've learned before about good osik, that when you have a mechitza, a certain size, 10 tefachim, we view it as if it's going all the way up to Shemayim. Good achis is the other way. When it's there on top, we view it as if it goes all the way down. Tosos, not here, but in another place, says that we're not viewing the wall as going down, but we view it as if it's like a doorway. And that's how we're looking at it. What would the difference between the two, whether you're viewing it as like the wall is coming down, or whether it's just like an opening of a doorway? So the Stiper brings down an afkamina, what happens if you have animals walking under it? So if you're going to say it's just like a doorway, animals walk through a doorway, that's no problem. You can still keep the wall, and the wall can be valid. But if you're going to be saying, we view it as if it's coming down, and the wall is like an imaginary wall, well, when you have animals walking through an imaginary wall, you can't really view the imaginary wall as imaginary wall. It's like somebody going outside in the middle of a thunderstorm, looking at his weather app, and the weather app says, it's not raining, it's sunny outside. So therefore, it's got to be sunny. Well, it's not going to be that way, right? The reality is that it's raining. So the same thing over here. You can say very nice in theory, or how luckily the walls go down, but when lemaisa is actually going through it, and you have things actually walking through, that's not going to be able to work. So fine. So that's our machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Again, Abamar Abaye Amrinan Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. Rava Amar Psula Lo Amrinan Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. We don't say that it works on all four sides. So if this is the case, so Amrli Abaye or Amrli Rava Abaye. So Rava says to Abaye the following, the didach, according to you, the Amra, who says, pi tikra yori v'sose, that you can say that the ceiling kind of like goes down and seals up the wall, afilu hithchis dofen emtsai, the sukkah should worry okay, even if the middle wall is missing. Meaning, what do you have? You have a sukkah with two sides, but the middle, there's nothing going through. And the middle is completely, completely open. So that should work also. And the implication is, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, so Amar Le, Abaye is going to say back, no, that's not what we're talking about over here. It says, Modina lach bahahi. I'm going to agree in this particular case. Why? Dehavi le kemavui hamafulash. This actually looks like an open alleyway. An open alleyway where people can actually walk through back and forth, that's not going to work. And if we just remember, we just said a little drop a couple of minutes ago, where we said that we view the walls, according to Rashi, as if the tikra, as if it's like an imaginary seal. And what the Stipler says, according to Rashi, if you actually have animals walking through that area going under it, you know, you can't view it as a wall because it's not acting as a wall. Here also, the optic is an alleyway. And people are walking through it as an alleyway. So in that particular case, yeah, you're not going to say it's going to work. But in the case that our Mishnah brings up there, where it's an area that's surrounded on three sides and people aren't necessarily walking through it, but rather you have wall, overhang, Abaye is going to say, in that case, you could say pitikra, because the pitikra, the idea of it going down, can actually function as a wall. In reality, you're not having people walking through it completely. It's not like an alleyway, and that's why it's going to work. Okay, I guess we'll stop over here and pick up next time.
Go ahead.